Let's go into the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 2. And it reads, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" Are you the one, John asked of Jesus, or shall we look for another? Now, about a month ago, Stephanie, my wife, came to me because she was going in her daily Bible study, and her Bible study landed on this particular passage. And just from what the passage said, it brought out some questions. Stephanie was perplexed, and quite naturally, she came to me, tried to give her some answers. She was perplexed because, according to this passage, from the surface, it looks like John the Baptist is doubting Jesus. But wait, John the Baptist? The same John that baptized Jesus just a few chapters earlier in Matthew? The same John that preached about Jesus, that said, "I must decrease and he must increase"? The same John that heard the voice from heaven when he heard the God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? The same John that even pointed others to Jesus and told his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So what's going on with John? Why is John doubting? Well, we should be able to relate to John, my brothers and sisters, because even the best of us have to deal with doubt. You see, it happens to all of us. We all experience. We all know what it feels like to have our own doubts. But we need to talk about doubts today because doubts can be devastating to your faith. Doubts can rob you of your peace. Doubts can rob you of your assurance. Doubts can even rob you of your joy. And I'm sure John the Baptist was feeling all of these things when he was sitting in prison, doubting about whether this one he had been preaching about, whether this one he had baptized in the Jordan River, whether this one he's been waiting for was actually the Christ that he said he is. So John sends out his disciples. He sends an envoy to ask Jesus this question: "Are you the one? Are you the one that we were expecting? Or should we look for another?" But why now is John doubting? Why now is John asking these questions? Well, you see, John was in the middle of a crisis. See, the Bible says in the text that this happened while John was in prison. Now, why was John in prison? Well, John was in prison because he stood up against the authorities of his day. John was in prison because he spoke out against the sins of Herod Antipas. He was the governor of that region at the time, and he had taken his sister-in-law as his own wife. You see, John was in prison, and he was feeling perplexed. He was feeling persecuted. John was in the moment of his crisis, but in the midst of John's crisis, he started to doubt about Jesus. But let's not get too critical on John, because we all experience the same things. Because it's when we're going through something that doubts start to arise. It's when we're going through something, when the questions that are within us come up to the surface. It's when we go through a crisis. It's when we go through a tragedy, when we start to question God. See, we all are tempted when our faith is tested by crisis. But it wasn't just crisis for the reason that John was doubting Jesus. For in our text that we see, that the Bible says that when he heard about the deeds of Jesus, or in the NASB version, it says, when he heard the works of the Christ. For you see, John preached that the Messiah, when he came, he was going to make every mountaintop low, and he was going to make every crooked place straight. You see, John preached that Jesus, when he came, he was going to take an axe to the roots of the branches, and every branch that wasn't fruitful, he was going to throw in the fire. But when Jesus came, from the surface, it looks like he didn't do any of that immediately. You see, when Jesus came, he didn't overthrow the Roman government. When Jesus came, he didn't execute justice on the spot. When Jesus came, he didn't make right every wrong in everyone's life. When Jesus came, he allowed his prophet, his forerunner, John the Baptist, to get put in Herod's prison. And I'm sure the thought entered John's mind, if this man is the Christ, then why am I still in prison? If this man is the Christ, then why is he allowing me to suffer? If this man is the Christ, then why do I have to go through what I've been going through? John was starting to doubt about Jesus because Jesus didn't meet his expectations. That's a lesson for all of us today, my brothers and sisters, because it tells us something particular about the subject of doubt. It tells us doubt comes when crisis meets unfulfilled expectations. See, that's the formula for doubt. When crisis meets your unfulfilled expectations. You see, in the Old Testament, Job experienced a crisis, for Job lost his family, his wealth, and even his health, all in the same day. But his expectations were left unfulfilled because he expected God to intervene in his situation. Well, the children of Israel, they experienced a crisis in the desert. They experienced a crisis of lack of food and lack of water. But when their expectations were left unfulfilled, they was going against Moses, and they even wanted to go back to Egypt. And we see here John had a crisis of being in imprisonment, but his expectations were left unfulfilled by Jesus. But they are not the only ones with expectations. These characters in the Bible, they're not the only ones that has doubts or has crisis. Has God allowed you to go through a tragedy? Has God allowed your child or your grandchild to be sick? Has God allowed your faith to be tested? Has God allowed you to go through suffering? Well, my brothers and sisters, let me give you some spiritual wisdom before we doubt. Don't allow God's timing to cause you to doubt God, because his timing is not our timing. God's ways is not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You see, God doesn't work towards our expectations, but God works to the pleasure of his will. God doesn't work according to our own plans, but God works out his plan and his timing. But we can take comfort in this, my brothers and sisters, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We can take comfort even in our situation because we know that God will be faithful to his word, and he'll do it in his own timing. John's crisis was met with his unfulfilled expectations. So John started to doubt about this Messiah. He said, are you the one we've been waiting for? Or shall we look for another? So how did Jesus respond to John's question? Well, let's look back in our text in verse 4. For the Bible says, and Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. How did Jesus respond to John's doubt? Where Jesus pointed John back to himself. He said, go and tell John to look at my works. go tell John to look at what I'm doing. Go tell John to look at my actions. Go tell John to look at my resume, because my resume speaks for itself. See, Jesus pointed to him what he had already done, because John needed to refocus. In John's moment of crisis, he needed to focus in on who Jesus was. And from time to time, my brothers and sisters, we also need a period of refocus. For too many times, we focus on the size of our problems and not the size of our God. Too many times, we focus on our own expectations. Too many times, we get panicked by the moment of our own crisis. But all of these things can get us off kilter. All of these things can cause doubts to arise in our hearts. All of these things can cause us to be spiritually unbalanced. But how does Jesus answer our doubts? He says, look at what I've done. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the world? Well, take heart, for Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Are you living in fear of death? Well, Jesus says, take heart, for I have taken the sting out of death. Jesus says, are you paralyzed by your past? He says, take heart. In me, you are a new creation. Are you feeling stuck by your unworthiness? Where Jesus says, don't worry about that. I am your righteousness. Whenever doubts start to come up, whenever our crisis meets unfulfilled expectations, the best thing for us to do, my brothers and sisters, is not to look at the size of our problems, is not to look at the crisis in our own heart, is not to look all around us, but to look at what Jesus has already done. There's a story, a very familiar story, where Peter learned this lesson the hard way. If you remember, Peter was called out by Jesus to walk on the water. And Peter was doing fine for a while. But the Bible says when he started to look at the winds and the waves, he feared, he was afraid, and then Peter started to sink. And finally, when Jesus pulled them both into the boat, he had to ask Peter a question. He said, Peter, why were you doubting? For you see, all Peter had to remember is that Jesus had calmed the storm. All Peter had to remember is that Jesus fed 5,000 on a hilltop. All Peter had to remember is that Jesus made the blind to see and the lame to walk. All Peter had to remember is just one of Jesus' miracles. You see, whenever we are tempted to look at our doubts, whenever we're tempted to look at our situation, whenever we're tempted to look at the strength of the wind or the waves of the sea, Jesus wants us to focus on what he has done. Because he's already given us the evidence. Jesus has given us enough to trust him. He's given us enough evidence to follow him. He's already given us enough to fight our doubts. But we have to trust in God's timing. We have to trust in God's heart when we can't always see his hand. We have to trust that God has our best interest at heart. We have to trust that God loves us, that he is a father, and he's going to work it out for the good in his own timing. Jesus answered John's doubts by saying, just look at what I've already done. But in verse 6 of our text, Jesus makes his concluding points. For the Bible says, Jesus says actually, and blessed is the one who is not offended in me. That word offended is the Greek word skandalizo. It's where we get the English word scandal, or to be scandalized. It means to cause someone to trip. It means to cause someone to stumble. So Jesus is saying, blessed is the man or woman who is not offended, who is not troubled, who is not tripping, who is not stumbling in regards to me. For you see, the Jews were expecting a king. The Jews were expecting a military general. The Jews were expecting a political leader. But Jesus came lowly and humble. Jesus came eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus came as a humble servant. And this caused some of the Jews to stumble over Jesus. This caused some of the Jews to be offended by who he was. This caused them to trip over him because he didn't meet their expectations. But Jesus didn't come in the way they expected. So therefore, they rejected him. But how many know that the stone that the builders have rejected has become the corner of the stone? Because Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is what they were looking for. For you see, Jesus was the promise to Abraham. Jesus is the one who will bruise the serpent's head. Jesus is the one that will sit on King David's throne. Jesus was the one who had the government upon his shoulders. Jesus was the one who was born of a virgin. Jesus was the one who gives life to all men. Jesus is the one who had the words of eternal life. And Jesus is the one, the only one, whose name by which we must be saved. So my brothers and sisters, what are we looking for today? What are we searching for? What are we expecting from God? Have we put God in a box of our own expectations? Have we relegated God to our own timing? Is it possible that he can allow crisis and still be God? Is it possible that he can allow suffering and still be good? Jesus says, blessed is the man or woman who does not stumble in regards to me. One of my favorite stories in the book of Daniel is when the three Hebrew boys were faced with death because they would not bow to the statue of the king. And they said to the king, if this be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. See, I expect that God is going to work it out. I expect that God is going to come through. I expect God is going to be faithful to his word. But if not, I'm still going to follow him. But if not, I'm still going to trust him. But if not, I still know who he is. If not, I'm going to place my focus on what he has already done. Despite the doubts and the questions, despite our crisis and our unfulfilled expectations, Jesus answered every one of our doubts by saying, look at what I've already done. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is enough. He's enough for whatever you're going through. He's enough for the questions that are in your heart. He's enough for the crisis of the moments. He is enough because he's already done it all. He gave his all on Calvary's cross. He was on the cross and he said, it is finished. So my brothers and sisters, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about the questions that we still don't have answers to. Because Jesus says, I am enough. I am that I am. Jesus answered John's doubts. And he refocused him on what he has done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. First of all, for being compassionate, for caring about us, for sympathizing with our weaknesses, for knowing our doubts and our thoughts, knowing how sometimes we don't hold up under pressure, how sometimes we don't hold up under the crisis. But you still do not condemn us. But instead, you answer our doubts and tells us, challenge us to put our faith in you, God. So I pray to everyone that we've made it here this morning, that have heard this message, that we're challenged to trust you no matter what we're going through, that we're challenged to put our trust in you despite of our crisis, that we're challenged to put our trust in you despite the questions that we may not have answers to. Thank you, God, for being loving. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who is enough for us. In Jesus' name, let the church pray, say, amen.